Amanda Spiker, Cassini Project Scientist at JPL. This is a remarkable time in what's already been a thrilling journey. Cassini's imaging cameras obtained views of Saturn about 2 days before crossing through the ring plane, but not near the time of closest approach. The focus of this first close pass was the engine maneuver and observations by Cassini's other science instruments. Future dives past the rings will feature some of the mission's best views of the outer region of the rings and small nearby moons. Each of Cassini's orbits for the remainder of the mission will last 1 week. The next pass by the ring's outer edge is planned for December 11th. The ring grazing orbits, 20 in all, will continue until April 22nd, when the last close flyby of Saturn's moon Titan will reshape Cassini's flight path. So it's going to go by Titan. Titan will somehow influence it because it has a gravitational pull. So it will throw it into another orbit, I guess. If they plan it, they can fly close enough where the gravitational tug of Titan will send it on a different orbit. With that encounter, Cassini will leap over the rings, making the first of 22 plunges through the 1,500-mile-wide gap between Saturn and its innermost ring on April 26. On September the 15th, the mission will conclude with a final plunge into Saturn's atmosphere. During the plunge, Cassini will transmit data on the atmosphere's composition until its signal is lost. Launched in 1997, Cassini has been touring the Saturn system since arriving there in 2004 for an up-close study of the planet, its rings and moons. During its journey, Cassini has made numerous dramatic discoveries, including a global ocean with indications of hydrothermal activity within the moon Enceladus and liquid methane seas on another moon, Titan. For details about Cassini's ring grazing orbits, see saturn.jpl.nasa.gov/news/2966/ring-grazing-orbits. Now let's see what I can find about John Glenn. I really would like to read more about John Glenn. There is no news right now. I don't know why, but Yahoo does not have any news about John Glenn, and I thought they would for sure. So I'm going to make a search of John Glenn. Where is it? There's a search on the right side. It says trending now. Let's see what it says about Mr. John Glenn. So the last of the great astronauts, he is gone. He's gone to the stars. So let's see if it says anything about, doesn't say anything about his death. So I'm going to try to look it up now, and let's see if it says anything. It says, there's lots of stories here. It says he died on August 6, 2015. Then another John Glenn died on April 2014. So, let's see what it says about him. On Wikipedia, our favorite. Hang on, they're asking for money. So, John Glenn was an American. Doesn't say. Okay, anyway, let's go to another story. So, Cassini beams back first images from new orbit. So there's a new orbit and there's a bunch of images. Now the caption says, there's a nice picture. It says, this view from NASA Cassini spacecraft was obtained about 2 days before its first close pass by the outer edges of Saturn's main ring during its penultimate mission phase. Okay, so let's see what the article is. It says, Cassini beams back first images from new orbit, December 6th. So that's a couple of days ago. NASA's Cassini spacecraft has sent to Earth its first views of Saturn's atmosphere since beginning the latest phase of its mission. The new images show scenes from high above Saturn's northern hemisphere, including the planet's intriguing hexagon-shaped jet stream. Cassini began its new mission phase, called its ring-grazing orbits, on November 30th. Each of these week-long orbits, 20 in all, carries a spacecraft high above Saturn's northern hemisphere before sending it skimming past the outer edges of the planet's main rings. Cassini's imaging cameras acquired these latest views on December 2nd and 3rd, about 2 days before the first ring-grazing approach to the planet. Future classes will include images from near closest approaches, including some of the closest ever views of the outer rings and smallest moons that orbit here. This is the beginning of the end of our story exploration of Saturn. So says Carolyn Porco, a Cassini imaging team leader at NASA Space Science Institute in Boulder, Colorado. Let these images and those to come remind you that we've lived a bold and daring adventure around the solar system's most magnificent planet. Well, somebody, you can get arguments about that, about Jupiter, but yes, Saturn is one of the most amazing places to visit. Now, there's a collage of images here. This says this collage of images from NASA's Cassini spacecraft shows, hang on, I lost my spot. This is, sorry about that. Okay, the next pass by the ring's outer edges is planned for December 11th. The ring grazing orbits will continue until April 22nd, when the last close flyby of Saturn's moon Titan will once again reshape Cassini's flight path. With that encounter, Cassini will begin its grand finale, leaping over the rings and making the first of 22 plunges through the atmosphere, or through the rings. On September 15th, the mission's planned conclusion will be a final dive into Saturn's atmosphere. Now let's see what's the next story here. I'm going to read something about Hubble. So Hubble spotlights an irregular galaxy called IC3583. The name of the article is on www.nasa.gov. It's under the galaxies subheading, dated December 2nd, 2016, and the title is Hubble Spotlight on an Irregular Galaxy IC3583. This delicate blue group of stars, actually an irregular galaxy named IC3583, sits some 30 million light years away in the constellation of Virgo. Isn't that amazing? We can see something 30 million light years away. It looks like a bunch of stars, but it's a bunch of galaxies. It may seem to have no discernible structure, but IC3583 has been found to have a bar of stars running through its center. These structures are common throughout the universe and are found within the majority of spiral, many irregular, and some lenticular galaxies. Type 2 irregulars include the group known as interacting or disrupting galaxies, in which the strange appearance is due to two or more galaxies colliding, merging, or otherwise interacting gravitationally. Something similar might be happening with IC3583. This small galaxy is thought to be gravitationally interacting with one of its neighbors, the spiral Messier 90. So, as everybody knows, there's a catalog of galaxies, cataloged by Charles Messier. It's called the Messier Catalog, and this one is Messier 90. Together, the duo form a pairing known as ARP76. It's still unclear whether these flirtations are the cause of IC3583's irregular appearance, but whatever the cause, the galaxy makes for a strikingly delicate sight in this NASA Hubble telescope image glimmering in the blackness of space. Okay, let's go to another Hubble thing. So isn't that wonderful? Our wonderful telescope known as Hubble will replace, well, not replace, but soon there'll be the James Webb telescope. There is an article I read a while ago, and it says maybe people were disappointed because Hubble gave nicer pictures. This new James Webb will do more science, get more data, but the pictures aren't going to be as nice. So will the public like that? We'll see. Okay, now this is a new article called Hubble Spies Spiral Galaxy, dated November 22nd, 2016. In the picture, there's a beautiful image of a galaxy with its spiral arms. Spiral Galaxy NGC, so NGC is another type of catalog for galaxies. Spiral Galaxy NGC 3274 is a relatively faint galaxy located over 20 million light years away in the constellation of Leo. Even though it's relatively faint, it comes out quite nice in the picture here because of the beautiful Hubble telescope. This NASA ESA Hubble Space Telescope image comes courtesy of Hubble's Wide Field Camera 3 WFC WFC3. Makes sense. Wide-field camera 3, WFC3, whose multicolor vision allows astronauts to study a wide range of targets from nearby star formation. Sorry, I lost my place. This image combines observations gathered in 5 different filters, bringing together ultraviolet, visible, and infrared light to show off NGC 3274 in all its glory. NGC 3274 was discovered by William Herschel in 1783. The galaxy PGC 213714 is also visible on the upper right of the frame, located much farther from Earth. Also, there's another little galaxy in the background, but it's much farther from Earth. So the first one was only 20 million light years. Wow, that's still very far. Okay, so let's look at this one. It's another article on Hubble, and the article says, Hubble takes flight with the Toucan and the cluster. This is November 4th, 2016. It may be famous for hosting spectacular sights, such as the Toucana Dwarf Galaxy and 47 Toucane HEIC 1510, the second brightest globular cluster in the night sky. But the southern constellation of Toucana, the Toucan, also possesses a variety of unsung cosmic beauties. One such beauty is NGC 299, an open star galaxy located within the Small Magellanic Cloud, just under 200,000 light years away. Open clusters such as this are collections of stars weakly bound by the shackles of gravity, all of which formed from the same massive molecular cloud of gas and dust. Because of this, all the stars have the same age and composition, but vary in their mass because they formed at different positions within the cloud. This unique property not only ensures a spectacular sight when viewed through a sophisticated telescope such as Hubble Advanced Camera for surveys, but gives astronauts a cosmic laboratory in which to study the formation evolution of stars, a process that is thought to depend strongly on a star's mass. So let's go to the next one. Hubble sees Cassiopeia's unusual resident. Okay, so this image, taken by the NASA ESA Hubble Space Telescope, Wide Field Planetary Camera 2. So there's a Wide Field Planetary Camera 3, and there's a Wide Field Planetary Camera 2. There probably is a Wide Field Planetary Camera 1 also. Shows a spiral galaxy named NGC 278. This cosmic beauty lies some 38 million light years away in the northern constellation of Cassiopeia, the Seated Queen. When NGC 278, while NGC 278 may look serene, it is anything but. The galaxy is currently undergoing an immense burst of star formation. This flurry of activity is shown by the unmistakable blue-hued knots speckling the galaxy's spiral arm, each of which marks a clump of hot newborn stars. However, NGC 278's star formation is somewhat unusual. It does not extend to the galaxy's outer edges, but is only taking place within an inner ring of 6,500 light years. This two-tiered structure is visible in this image. While the galaxy's center is bright, its extremities are much darker. The odd configuration is thought to have been caused by the merger with a small gas-rich galaxy. While the turbulent event ignited the center of NGC 278, the dusty remains of the small snack that dispersed into the galaxy's outer regions. Whatever the cause, such a ring of star formation, called a nuclear ring, is extremely unusual in galaxies without a bar in its center, making NGC 278 a very intriguing sight. Okay, now I'm going to go to another Hubble article, and it's dated October 13 from www.nasa.gov. It says, Hubble reveals observable universe contains 10 times more galaxies than previously thought. Wow, that's a lot. The universe suddenly looks a lot more crowded thanks to a deep sky census assembled from the surveys taken from NASA's Hubble Space Telescope and other observatories. Astronomers came to the surprising conclusion that there are at least 10 times more galaxies in the observable universe than previously thought. So there's an image of a bunch of galaxies, and the caption says, "This image covers a portion of a large galaxy census called the Grebe Observatory Origins Deep Survey, GOODS. The results have clear implications." Now I'm going to read the article. "The results have clear implications for galaxy formation and also help shed light on an ancient astronomical paradox. Why is the sky dark at night?" Why is the sky dark? Why is it not light? So let's see what it said. In analyzing the data, a team led by Christopher Consolish of the University of Nottingham, UK, found that 10 times as many galaxies were packed into a given volume of space in the early universe than found today. Well, I would say that makes sense because the galaxies are expanding, or the universe is expanding. The space in between the galaxies is expanding. Most of these galaxies were relatively small and faint, with masses similar to those of the satellite galaxies surrounding the Milky Way. As they merged to form larger galaxies, the population density of galaxies in space dwindled. This means that galaxies are now evenly distributed throughout the universe's history. The research reports in a paper to be published in the Astrophysical Journal. These results are powerful evidence that a significant galaxy evolution has taken place throughout the universe's history, which dramatically reduced the number of galaxies through mergers between them, thus reducing their total number. This gives us a verification of the so-called top-down formation of structure in the universe. One of the most fundamental questions in astronomy is that of just how many galaxies the universe contains. The landmark Hubble Deep Field, taken in the mid-1990s, gave the first real insight into the universe's galaxies population. Subsequent sensitive observations, such as Hubble's ultra deep field, revealed a myriad of faint galaxies. This led to an estimate that the observable universe contained about 200 billion galaxies. The new research shows that this estimate is at least 10 times too low. So the universe contains at least 2 trillion galaxies. Consolish and his team reached this conclusion using deep space images from Hubble and the ready published data from other teams. They painstakingly converted the images into 3D in order to make accurate measurements of the number of galaxies at different epochs in the universe's history. In addition, they used new mathematical models which allowed them to infer the existence of galaxies that the current generation of telescopes cannot observe. This led to the surprising conclusion that in order for the number of galaxies we now see and their masses to add up, there must be a further 90% of galaxies in the observable universe that are too faint and too far away to be seen with present-day telescopes. These myriad small faint galaxies from the early universe merged over time into larger galaxies we can now observe. So says Consolish, the professor, and quote, "It boggles the mind that over 90% of the galaxies in the universe have yet to be studied. Who knows what interesting properties we will find when we discover these galaxies with future generations of telescope. In the near future, the James Webb telescope will be able to study these ultra-faint galaxies." So as I said earlier, James Webb could maybe do more science. It's not going to give us the beautiful pictures of Hubble, so maybe people will not be as excited about James Webb. The decreasing number of galaxies as time progresses also contributes to the solution for Hubble's paradox, first formulated in the early 1800s by German astronomer Heinrich Wilhelm Hubble, which is, the paradox is, why is the sky dark at night if the universe contains an infinity of stars? The team came to the conclusion that indeed there is actually an abundance of galaxies, that, in principle, every patch in the sky contains part of a galaxy. However, starlights from the galaxies is invisible to the human eye and most modern telescopes due to other known factors that reduce visible and ultraviolet light in the universe. These factors are the reddening of light due to the expansion of space, the universe's dynamic nature, and the absorption of light by intergalactic dust and gas. All combined, these keeps the night sky dark to our vision. The Hubble Space Telescope is a project of international cooperation between NASA and the European Space Agency. NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, manages the telescope. The Space Science Institute in Baltimore, Maryland, conducts Hubble science operations. STIC is operated by NASA by the Association of Universities for Research. Hi, I'm just calling in John. John, I can't find the screen that plays the other, the. Sorry, I'm getting help here. I don't know how to operate this thing. So there we go. Okay, thank you, John. Okay, so thank you for listening. You've been listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. On my skin.